Welcome to the last game chat of Observer. I'm glad you guys could make it so that we can discuss this beautiful piece of art. Inspired and uplifted me into a gutter.
Yes.
You can figure out how that happens. It's a mystery. All right. So, guys, so general thoughts. What did you think about this wonderful ending of Observer?
Well, first of all, which...
Good answer.
ending, did you guys choose? I chose the accept him ending.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah. But I wasn't really sure of, like, the full implications of either ending. Both of them kind of sounded like a no-win situation, though.
Yeah. Despite your ending choice. Did anyone else pick the Accept Adam ending?
Yeah, for two reasons. It was right down to the wire. So I was like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, pick an ending by the time. But then I thought I actually, quote unquote, got the right ending when he starts talking about the decision. And he's like, you know, he remembers part of the embracing Adam ending is he remembers a promise he made to his wife that he would take care of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of like, you know, this is his son, I didn't form at all. And he's, you know, he can't really throw stones because he's got parts in him as well. So he's like, you know, he didn't want the parts in him, but now he has the parts in him. So, to mods, I should say. So, what's, you know, he's been hacking in other people's brains when he will put somebody else in. So, I don't, you know, then, I don't, you know, Steph, obviously it sounds like you got the other decision, but then you get, when you embrace Adam, you wake up back in the apartment complex, and then you have the option to try to warn custodian not to let him out of the building, not to let yourself out of the building, because it's like now you have this split personality.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, where did that come from? All of a sudden, like he decided to embrace Adam, but now he's like second guessing his decision.
It's more of now you truly are an observer, because I don't really think you have control of your body anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know.
Yeah, that's a neat way to put it.
But you guys chose the other endings, so you can.
Yeah, what kind of ending did you get? I guess Madeline, how did you do?
So I rejected Adam. Like, I didn't, like you, Frank, I didn't really feel good about either one of them, but, I rejected him. Not that I think that an electronic version of a person is any less of a person than the physical body is part of that, but it was pretty clear from Daniel's lines that he thought he was, so I felt like that would be the truer choice that he would have made. So, when you do that, you're like, no, and he's like, well, it's too late. You don't really get to choose. No, I was kind of hoping we could do this the easy way. And then you wake up and you're in the...
Rudy.
The sanctuary? Yeah, you're in the sanctuary. And you see your body get up from the big plush chair that was there at the top of the front of the altar. And the Adam's brain tells you in Daniel's voice that you're in a safer place for him now. And then, yeah, the custodian comes up and is like, you wandered away. Somebody did a number on you. I'll fix you up. And then, yeah, you realize you're in Rudy. But you are not helpless, apparently, because then when the custodian tries to fix you up, somehow he, like, plugs into you, and then you're able to hack into the custodian and then get the custodian stuck in Rudy and then go chase after Adam and Daniel's body, if you're tracking with all of this hopping.
Oh, my yes. Lord. How does... Oh, my God. That made it worse. I swear to you. That made it worse. That's like... Talk about dos ex machina. All of a sudden, wait a minute, I rejected you, and then I ended up in the janitor's body, and my son ended up in my body, and what?
Yeah.
I mean, deus ex machina would be the perfect term for it, because Adam has been the all-seeing yes. eye in the machine pulling all the strings this whole time.
Right, so. Exactly. Thank you for pointing that out. I'll mm-hmm. send you $5 later.
Oh, thanks.
and then you're able to go and try to stop Daniel Adam.
Adam and, Daniel.
Yes, you're able to stop the not Daniel anymore, or try to stop him.
Basically, he turns around and sees the custodian and thinks it's still Yanis, the custodian. And he's like, don't worry, my people will be here soon as the doors are opening. And then he realizes once you try and start beating the crap out of them that it's not actually the custodian, that it's Daniel. But then you black out and the credits roll right as you're about to find out whether or not Adam Daniel is still alive or not.
Yep.
As much as the person could be dead if they were already uploaded to a network. So.
You know, hearing it, like, I chose the ending as well. And hearing you say it, like, it sounds, if I was going to tell someone that ending, like, it sounds kind of epic. I mean, it sounds kind of like, oh, wow, that sounds crazy. It sounds very Inception-like. Like, mm-hmm. this sounds like, but they executed it so poorly.
Yeah.
So poorly executed that I was left just like, I don't know, what did I just watch? Because it happened, I think, just so quickly without, and there wasn't that much, you didn't delve into any of the changes or anything that was happening. And mm-hmm. the next thing you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, okay, it's the end of the game. All right. Okay. Turn off system.
Basically. Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with, and I'm just thinking about this, is that it took you so long to get there through crawling through so many just corridors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You lost any caring you had about the end.
Yes.
It's like, just end this.
Was anybody else pissed off to find out that you, but I kind of guessed that you were still in the VR machine, eventually when you started running into the mutants, but that the, whole, end sequence was an entire VR simulation from the moment you got in.
I knew something was up because the mutants were there, and so I wasn't sure if that was just still, like, your broke observer brain just being like, oh, this is a place where bad things are happening, so let's just throw in some other things you associate with stress, and you can deal with that, that's fine. But it made sense once he said, and I was like, oh, of course I am.
Honestly, very little made sense to me after I mean, I didn't really understand the whole, like, that wasn't still in like hacking or into the VR or whatever. I was like, okay, is this really happening? Is there monsters, or is this monster really after me? Is this monster for real? Yeah. Like, it made me like, to fear is that, you know, Layers of Fear wasn't perfect. I'm only, you know, relating the two because, of course, it's by the same company, so it's natural. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I really dug Layers of Fear. And the one thing that it did is it didn't make me question things. You know, it was like, okay, well, what's going on? You know, there were some things in that game that I didn't understand. But it still done it in, like, a concise way to where, like, I could still kind of guess at what I was seeing, you know, and be like, oh, well, possibly it meant this. Mm-hmm. This game, I can't do that. Like, I there was a certain point where, like, my brain just stopped computing what was being fed to it. And I was just like, okay, like, I don't, like, there, like, it got to a point where, like, I don't care if this is reality or if this is some hack that, you know, that he's doing or some VR sequence. I really don't care. I just want to get to the end.
No. I think this game suffered from bloat in the theme. This sneeze really fast and then keep talking. Okay, sorry. I think they wanted to do cyberpunk, and cyberpunk is generally like, what is the line between man and machine, and how fluid can we make that, and when are you still a person and when are you not, and also like corporate espionage and big corporation. So we had that with Chiron, but then they wanted to do the 1984 thing also, which is the government knows everything and sees all, and you're, you know, stay quiet, stay hidden, and just do your tiny little punch card job, and
then
you'll get to live.
And then there was,
go ahead.
Oh, and then there was the whole augmentation and the not real people and stuff, dealing with mind and personalities and stuff of Blade Runner.
Right, that's and the cyberpunk stuff.
Yeah, the whole observer part.
The observer part seemed to me to be more like trying to do the 1984, that I can go everywhere and see everything, and you have to talk to me and answer questions, and if you don't want to, I'll get my answers anyway. It was just interesting that they tried to do both, and it ended up that they weren't really able to execute. I'm not saying it couldn't have been executed properly, it just felt like that they, as a theme, lacked one cohesive idea.
And yeah, they also just kind of didn't explain a lot of things, and it also annoyed the crud out of me when you went and chose some of the answers, and then the Daniel seems to ask a completely different question from the thing that you told him to ask.
Like Telltale.
Yeah, a lot of games suffer from that. And a lot of people complain that, you know, it should, you know, when you hover over it, one big solution, when you hover over it, it gives you the text of what exactly what he's going to say.
That's one of our biggest complaints about, or one of my biggest complaints about Telltale is that sometimes you choose an answer that you're like, oh, this sounds okay, and then like it turns into something when you actually say it's something that's either a lot more harsh or not as harsh as you want it to be.
Right. It's like, can I get a preview of this answer?
Yeah.
What was it? Dreamfall Chapters, their like third installment, actually did that. You could hover over the answer and you would hear what the person was going to say.
Nice. Oh,
that was nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a lot in this, and it could have been really, really, really good, but they, like you said, they just stuffed way too many cyberpunk stuff.
Yeah, if they would have just focused on just, then there are, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of stories that combine several elements, but you kind of have to, of comprehension, you have to focus on, you have to choose a main focus. And I mean, you can have elements of other things in there, but you have to. So, and I think that they just tried to squish too many different things and try to put so much focus on everything. Pinpointed focus that it was too much. They could have easily have divided this up into like two or three different projects, you know, and like two or three different stories.
Yeah, I actually, even though it moves slow, the werewolf, the murder sequence was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
like that was something else that was thrown in, like that whole thing, like and then nothing to me seemed, nothing seemed to go together. Like it just seemed like things to where like the werewolf, and I mean, and they did try to, you know, to bring it together with like, oh well, this thing, you know, this person was, you know, and it all kind of went back to Adam.
Yeah. Well, not Adam.
Oddly enough, the little group that he was getting together.
Right.
It wasn't a strong enough thing for me.
I elected to not plug into Adam's head.
Yeah, neither did I.
Because the voice said not to. So what was that like?
You get a game, like it's basically a sequence of mini games, and I don't think you really get any information out of it, which really pissed me off. Because Adam basically set up a bunch of stuff. Like, you know how he went and scrambled his like data chip and everything? And like DNA, so you can't really tell who he was. He basically set up a bunch of traps in his mind to prevent you from an observer from being able to hack into it. So you go into it and you basically end up playing a couple different like mini dodge trap game stuff.
Weird.
In the end, you're in like a classic dungeon crawler and you're running from like not the exact mutant, but a mutant-like creature thing, and then you end up getting attacked by the car. Getting attacked by the toy car, and then it kicks you out. But the fact that you don't get anything from it pisses me off.
Is it still in first person?
Yeah. The first part is really weird because the first part it's watch your head, so you have to go and move back and forth to avoid the Tetris blocks falling from the ceiling.
Okay.
But yeah.
So is that where you saw that?
No, that's in the... I thought that was in the werewolf's head.
Yeah, that's in the werewolf's head.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think I did, because like every time I search for observer images for game chat or whatever, this comes up and I'm like, that looks so cool.
That's in the
I love
head.
This.
Yeah, that's in the
never,
werewolf.
I
head.
Never came across it. I don't think I plugged
that's
it into
in like the
head.
Very beginning.
I know.
Of the werewolf head.
Yeah, very. In the beginning was very Pink Floyd the Wall
oriented. I just figured that like. Okay, I feel like I wish I would have plugged into Adam's head now, because that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't add anything. And then now I thought that, okay, well, it's giving me this option, but it's kind of, because I think with the werewolf said, I think it kind of, some reason you were told not to, was it Adam that told you not to plug into the werewolf's head?
No, the Adam AI, which is not Adam, told you to not plug into the real Adam's head.
I must have just missed the werewolf setup then. But
well, he was hanging there on all the wires and stuff after he jumped you.
I thought you had to go into the werewolf.
I thought you had to too.
Yeah.
Completely missed this scene. I completely missed it.
You didn't go through the forest chasing the deer and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I missed this somehow. Like, I didn't
see this. This is in the very beginning. Yeah. It's a very short scene, though. Like the moment you walk in, they all look at you and
their faces like, change.
The tall one falls over.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to actually see it from this. Like, this is probably, like an in-game engine shot, like, custom shot, because you can't actually get this exact view, because the moment you walk in, they all turn around.
If you were crouched, you might be able to get close. Yeah.
Looks more like an artist concept, kind
of. Sad. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm sorry that Adam said, I chose not to plug into Adam's head either, because he asked me to... And I was like, or he asked me not to, and so I didn't do it.
Yeah, there's a point achievement for getting 3,000 points for in the Adam's brain traps or whatever they call them. But I got speaking of Adam and losing his head, I got really pissed off. When I found out that the whole entire thing was set up by the AI going and sending an email to the werewolf to go and kill the actual Adam who went and sent out the virus in the first place to kill AI Adam because he realized he made a monster of an AI. That was going to try.
That's just really poor sci-fi writing right there.
Yeah, because it's really conjecture. It's not really, the living, breathing Adam, if he left a note, or something, that's why he did it, or an email somewhere, that would have been more compelling, but it's like, that's just Daniel conjecturing,
Daniel guessing, and then the electronic Adam feeding into it. Personally, I don't have as much problem with that as the really tired cliche of the electronic version of you is evil, or that this is a terrible idea to be completely electronically uploaded, that for some reason there would be like, that would be bad. I just wish that we would be able to move into like positive views of electronic versions of people. Yeah, at least occasionally.
Well, in this case, it seems like the AI knew that Adam had tried creating multiple other iterations of his AI self, and this is the only one that kind of, I guess, got sentience on its own, and was kind of pissed off at the real Adam for killing all the other artificial intelligence.
Well, we only have his word to go on for that. He very well could have killed, if Adam did in fact create other versions of himself, this version could have killed off the other ones also.
Which really puts a hole in the whole, is it the real Adam? Because, and I mean, it's all, it, you know, this the kind of trope where you download yourself into a computer. I mean, you still exist while the copy of you exists in the computer, so therefore it's not really you. I mean, there can't be two views.
I feel like Soma did a much better examination of this idea.
Don't spoil it.
It's pretty early on in the game that it starts talking about this. So if you haven't played Soma, S-O-M-A, go play it.
Isn't that by the Amnesia people?
Yes. Yeah. And it's not... So if you thought Amnesia was really scary, Soma is not really scary. It definitely has some scary moments, but not... Amnesia scary.
I'm totally... It sounds weird. I'm totally with the whole idea of, connecting your brain to a neural network and stuff like that, where you still have the living organ of a brain, but just the mere information, it's just like,
there's no soul.
Well, without getting that side of it, which is, I still, kind of like, yeah, I agree. just the raw information would be nothing more than a digital autobiography of you. You know, it doesn't have the thinking part of you. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have the neurons that are firing it, you know, and accessing, you know, random pieces of memories and stuff like that. So it wouldn't really be you. It would be.
So you feel like you need a physical, biological body in order to keep a personality that, that an interact, even in a, for lack of a better term, we'll call it program that had access to all of your information, your thoughts and feelings and your priorities would cease to be a person.
Yes.
Because it didn't have the bio, and the only difference would be the biological presence.
In a way, yes, because it's, I guess it's more, how do you get the information out of the brain? In other words, it would be
it would just be
a copy, you know?
That's the hand wavy part of this science fiction.
Yes, that's the sort of segue that, you know, they can't, I mean,
it's,
if they were able to, like I said, connect you neurally to your, you know, cortex and stuff and interpret all your thoughts through a machine while your brain was still functioning and all it needs is what, blood and oxygenated blood, I guess, to continue functioning.
So if you were a brain in a jar that had electronic interface, that would be okay?
I would argue.
I'm just curious.
I would agree that that's still me. I mean, you know, I mean, my finger isn't me, my toes aren't me, my legs and arms aren't really me, they're parts of me, but my brain is, at least philosophically speaking, I guess,
my brain is
what makes me me.
I go in a room with, like, his personality uploaded on a computer, like, there's a computer sitting there, and then there's a brain in a jar sitting on another shelf, and he's like, yes, that's me right there.
Has anyone seen the anime Psycho Pass?
Spoilers, but
it's been a while since it's been out, so I think Psycho Pass is very similar to what Frank was talking about. And, you know, spoilers or not, the whole big reveal is that this Minority Report type of computer system is really a bunch of people's brains working as sort of like a hive mind to fight crime and
recognize potential.
Yeah, and it's basically, but what ends up happening is that, you know, they become a hive mind and they lose their humanity, and it's basically very black and white as to how sentencing and handling of quote-unquote criminals are. So it's weird because it does take into question of, if you are just a brain, are you still you, or like, do you lose that part of your humanity because you don't have a body anymore?
It's weird because the system of the room full of brains ceases to interact like a person and does interact more like a computer. Granted, this is one interpretation of what that would be like. It's not like we have data on what that would actually be like, but it is an interesting posit of what that.
Yeah, and as Chris points out, the unpredictability of once now that set up that, you know, in a jar, now you're interconnected with, you know, other brains and other jars. Now, how would that would affect you? That's a very interesting and sci-fi question, that how that would affect, you know, how, what would be being part of the hive mind do to you? You know, that's a very interesting concept.
From the story, they cease to exist as individuals.
I can see that.
They only work in coordination.
Well, you would struggle to maintain your individuality.
Maybe. Well, there are instances where it's still themselves, which is when they're occupying the police chief.
They still do that as individuals. That's not remotely done as the Hive Mind.
Yeah, because in some of the scenes in it, when the one guy that was the other criminal that worked with whoever the main bad guy was, he ended up going and joining the civil system. So he goes and has a conversation with him when he's inside the police chief's body.
Oh, yeah.
Steph, this sounds like a hell of an article.
Yeah.
But getting back to this god-awful game.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This game is... I'm trying to remember.
Main complaint. Well, I have several. This game was lit by Matchlight. After a while, I couldn't take it anymore, switching between night vision and then biological vision and computer vision. It was just kidding. And then when you go back to normal vision, it's like I'm looking in a closet. You know? I can't see anything.
You could turn up the gamma, but it would look bad.
It just grays out everything.
Yeah, the last 10 to 15% of the game was not... You couldn't switch in between, and I was kind of glad. At first, it seemed fun, and then eventually it just got... Yeah. Just kind of fell apart.
And if somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, was there exactly one thing in a drawer? In all the drawers and cabinets? Oh, two things. The book and the ID in the beginning. And then I swear to God, yeah, I checked every cabinet, every drawer, and there was nothing else in the entirety of the game.
It's very much like, I mean, I think Layers of Fear, there was very little that you could get from the drawers as well. Like, I think maybe there were a couple of items, but yeah, they just like you to just be able to senselessly open.
It's like they had a mechanic in that engine and they just fell in love with it.
I think near, I'm going to have to end up using a guide for getting all the pictures, but yeah, there are pictures hidden in
I think so.
Side spaces and
mostly in closets and stuff, side spaces.
Yeah.
The door. But I'm annoyed that you get a trophy for 10 and then you get a trophy for all. It's like there's a lot more than 10.
Well, it's pretty easy to probably, if you're not really looking and you just kind of run through the game and try to take the most and like follow the path that the book tells you to basically go, you can probably end up just barely getting over 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would have like 20, 30, 40, you know. Let me know how I'm doing. But yeah, the game was way too dark in the corridors and all this. The suits, it was like, oh my God. I don't remember Layers of Fear being the guy walking that slow.
Well, you can sprint.
Yeah.
You can sprint. I wouldn't recommend sprinting near the mutants because you'll die.
Were you on controller or keyboard?
PS4.
I have no idea. The
PS4.
I was on PS4. Because sometimes, I mean, I often forget about the sprint as well, Franco, so don't feel bad. Like, okay. It got to, I think, like, it was after all the monster crap was over, and I was like, oh, that's right, I have a sprint button. I think, if I remember correctly, I think it was you held down one of the joysticks.
That's how they do sprint now in most of the first-person shooters.
I don't think it was another button. I think it was you held it down. Situation where, because usually I accidentally find it and it annoys me because I get like really flustered and I accidentally hit it like as I'm running and I just start just and I just I you know I sprint right into danger or off the cliff or and like there was no moments where I was like panicking to get somewhere and so I usually forgot about it, but I believe it was holding down the joystick.
Yeah, and too many Carters. I mean, please. Yeah. Yeah, just it's just meaningless corridors that just, you know,
have some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them you had pictures on the floor if you went down them.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, real quick, room 302.
That was dolls.
I don't know. Remind me.
The dolls.
Miss that room.
Did anybody else's doll turn its head?
I feel like the doll was supposed to be Adam's. It kind of looked like the same head that's Adam's head, but it isn't his head, but it looks like his severed head.
It definitely did. Did you read the emails in the room?
Cats.
I was laughing about the holographic, the seven things in holographic.
Yeah, I thought that was
great. Clever. Yeah.
But it's like somebody is emailing this person. They're like, I'm kind of worried about you. And I'm looking around the room and like, have you been to their house?
Yeah. I don't know where the person is, but that freaked me out. I got off the computer and I hear this creak and I turn and his head's turned. I'm like, what the? That is a fear. That is a phobia.
I didn't. Yeah. Close many it's doors in that game, but I closed all of the doors that I could between the doll and myself.
Oh, yes.
Every time I walk past that room, I check, look in there to see that. I was afraid I'm going to see the head looking at me.
Turned all the way around.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The first time I encountered that, I didn't even end up having a save that was already past that sequence. I just noped and closed down the game. And the second time I had to do it, I made my brother go and read the email and then close it. And then he's like, why is it looking at me?
I totally understand. Yeah, that was, I mean, that was a great moment. The game should have had some more of those.
Yeah. You know,
this game wasted so much time on other things. And,
did anyone go to 205, was it? It was one of the early 200s, where it had that corridor that kept repeating and changing, and had the guy asking if somebody was there.
No.
No.
Yeah, I think it had, like, a keypad, and you had to guess on, like, the last two digits. But I was looking at a guide, so they told you what the digits were, but it's the whole entire sequence is like a reference, I guess, to the PT or the playtest Silent Hills thing.
Yeah.
And it creeped me the heck out.
There he is.
I completely missed that room. That looks crazy.
Facing the windows, and when you get off the computer, you just hear this creak, and you turn just in time to see its head finish turning.
He's looking at you.
Yep. But that's not, does that not creep you out, or what?
Let's see.
You're not hacked in,
I like the
right?
look on the guy's face. He's just like, oh, snap.
Other stuff that I missed, and I wouldn't have known about it if there wasn't like an achievement on the like public facing edge that's like, you didn't do this. There's an organ farm somewhere.
I don't know what the hell that was about.
I think it's in the basement.
I found the organ farm and it freaks the heck out of me.
I'm guessing it's that thing that you saw in the werewolf's brain dive where it's the giant pig, where he's like, we're making all this plasma and all this blah blah blah.
Oh yeah. There's a
reference. So tell me about this.
There's a reference to it in like, let me see what the because I had a guy that goes and 205 was the apartment that, I think it's an earlier 200 number that has the creepy thing, but apartment 205, which is that apartment that you keep hearing the banging door going up and down when you're in the 200 section.
Yeah.
If you go into 205, you end up seeing the Oregon farmers' emails and stuff like that, and you see a couple pictures that ends up having the code for the...
It's the room in the basement, right?
For the room in the basement. So that's the Oregon farm that applies to the one thing. Some of the emails are kind of amusing. One of them's for wanting a heart, and then getting upset because they suddenly changed. With a follow-up email after that one being that somebody was going to pay like 4 times the price for a heart because they needed it now. So mm-hmm. he went and sold it to the person paying really high money.
Was ticked.
And then one of the emails was a guy asking for a particular organ, which was kind of vulgar but humorous at the same time.
Got it. Say no more. Yeah, you understand.
It was
hard to be thrilled thing. I'm gonna guess.
That's the only picture I could find of it. But yeah, I mean, it's basically like you walk in. I saw that stuff up, and then they had like these big containers that had these organs that they were like, I think that they were trying to form, to like create something, right? They were trying to like.
Like Frankenstein something?
I'm not going to understand.
Just trying to make organs.
No, I don't think so. I think that they were trying to create a creature.
Are you talking about the organ farm itself?
Yeah.
In the basement? He just uses he grows. Organs.
From what I could understand, I mean, maybe I'm thinking about something else, but there is the same room that you find all these skins and stuff on the wall. There's evidence. I think there's even an email on the computer that makes it sound like that they're pulling these organs and collecting some of them to put into something.
Yeah, into
a single unit.
Oh. Because I know, like, at least the email, that might be in one of the emails that I missed or something, but I know...
Keep an eye out when you go back through, because that frightened the heck out of me. And the entire room just gave me the heebie-jeebies. I think that was, like, the one thing in the game that I was like, this is really creepy.
Yeah, but for the most part, it seemed like they were growing multiples of organs from the pig and then taking them from the pig and using them like, oh, I grew a heart and another heart.
So in real life, we do get some products from pigs, we used to get insulin that was then bovine, and that now we're able to reproduce human insulin in the lab because bacteria, yay. but now I think maybe heparin is still from porcine.
Whatever that is.
That's pigs.
No, heparin.
Oh, heparin is an anticoagulant. So we give it to people in surgery because we want them to not clot up.
Okay.
Yeah. So that we can leave things open still, or we give it to people after surgery on my floor because we don't want them to get blood clots in their legs if they're not moving around enough and die. basically. I didn't actually get to see the organ room, so I'm kind of sad. I'll have to go back and find a walkthrough. But from the bit in the werewolf's dive, it seemed like the pig was definitely, like, feeling tortured. Well, like, being tortured, basically. Because yes. They had that VR mask on, too, so it was not this was not a humane outfit.
Oh, no. Well, no.
Well, it wasn't necessarily being tortured. They were sedating it to the point where it wouldn't really be able to tell that they were doing stuff to it.
And because of the...
I don't feel like intention really matters in torture. Cruel and unusual punishment is...
Yeah.
Well, intentions don't really matter.
The issue was that the lockdown had, kicked the power out, so it wasn't getting the...
Soothing images?
No, the,
painkiller.
Painkillers. Yeah.
Poor pig.
Crazy.
I can't deal. I can't look at that.
No thanks.
A picture of the pig suffering.
Yeah, walkthrough was garbage near the end. Especially explaining getting through the, three different corridor hallway things. With the mutants, where they're like, oh, just go and walk behind the mutants, and you don't have to go and bother using the crawl spaces. I'm like, I'm using the crawl spaces, dang it. Since I used the crawl spaces, one of them seemed to completely skip going through one whole area.
Yeah.
That the guy described, and it really confused me though at one point, because one of the mutants, I think, after the first section, when you get to the first eye hallway, the thing gets to an end of a hallway and just stops and doesn't turn around at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is it supposed to turn around? Is it supposed to do anything? Maybe there's something actually there. And because I didn't go in and look, I ended up missing out. But
waits there for a long time.
Yeah, I'm like, what? What? Do something.
That took me forever.
Yeah. It's stupid. Now that I think of it, okay. Yeah, we could have done without that. But the non sequitur that's supposed to be, in Adam's mind, his view of his dad, right? Because at the very end, it shows... Dan in the mirror, and he sort of transforms back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Stalker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But why do we see that in the woman's brain when she's in the office space? That doesn't... See, that
question is Franco.
I think that's... Well, the office space thing, those mutants are slightly different, but I think they maybe are supposed to actually represent observers or, stuff to do with the observer psyche or something like that.
I would buy that, but I got caught by that office monster a lot, and I got caught by the apartment building monster, and
I think they're maybe supposed to represent just fear, and
I mean, it's definitely a paranoia, but
and getting caught and stuff.
But I'm not really sure, like Franco said, why they're the exact same. I mean, they had a lot of options for mutants. We found all those pictures of people laying all over the floor.
They got lazy.
I understand it's a lot easier to make a static picture than it is to create a 3D model that then interacts with stuff. But
yeah.
And some of the stuff they spent time on, the one thing that I said, boy, I wish they would have delved into this a little bit more, was with the Wolfman. There was a whole subculture of people who were DNA splicing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's this is a wild idea. I mean, that could have, of course, it gets into another tangent. But,
Yeah, that's where I feel like that they are getting bean bloated. Like, we can do anything to our bodies. Right. What can we do?
People aren't weird. Well, I know what's weird now? Trans species people.
Yeah, a guy wants to be a werewolf. for various reasons.
And then was asking if they actually used Canis lupus in DNA because the species is extinct.
There was complaining, it was tough to find, So that was, I found that story interesting. I was like, wow, this guy wanted to be a werewolf, and he gene spliced with Canis lupus, whatever, I guess wolves.
Going back to Adam, going back to Adam and Dan and their relationship. So I know throughout the game, like, it's sprinkled as where the Dan is observing. So automatically some of his and his baggage kind of gets injected into things. So, and as we got towards the end, it kind of explored it more. I think get the story straight. His mom, or Daniel's wife, died because she was getting an augmentation.
She refused to get an augmentation.
She had some sort of condition that the augmentation would have fixed,
or some sort of.
Did get an augmentation. So the whole thing was that Dad should have convinced her to get the augmentation?
Yes.
Yeah, at least when he was a kid, because he, because he's like, Mom's dead, and she could have been alive. And you're like saying, oh, but she wouldn't have been your mother. Because she would have been like a robot.
So I guess, you know, the insinuation is that, which is, you know, harkens back to the conversation at the door. It's like, in the beginning, wouldn't you consider Dan and his wife to be immaculates at that point? People who rejected the whole idea of mods?
If it was 20 years prior to the happenings of the game, I'm not sure if immaculates would have been a thing.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But yes, by the same token, yes.
Oh. So, yeah, the insinuation.
Did ever explore why Dan decided to get augmentations himself, if he believed that?
He got into an accident of some sort.
Yeah, either he was in an accident, or he was in war, or something.
It's almost like he didn't have a choice.
Probably like, an accident.
Okay.
It's really bad. They're going to do robot surgery on you, and then...
Oh, and I think someone said to him, well, what about Adam? Like, they were, like, they used Adam as kind of like, you want to be there for your son.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to have anybody else, basically.
Okay. I remember that now.
Mm-hmm. And then, so that makes more sense than to why Adam, which we kind of had the preview from before, Adam had the argument with Daniel that he was a hypocrite. But then I'm still not 100% on why Adam then went and worked for Chiron, and Daniel was like, you shouldn't do that.
He had a fascination with how things work, and the taking apart things and putting them back together, like with the cars, and then he just is interested in the technology and stuff, and I guess it could have also had something to do with him, because he was building all these artificial intelligences that he maybe wanted to go and try to make his mother again as an artificial intelligence.
I didn't see anything that it indicated he was going to try and build his mom. But, I can see the liking, the wanting to take things apart and understand how they've worked, but that doesn't mean, like, you want to go and work for the corporation that you feel like failed to save, like, took both your parents away from you, basically.
I think he maybe wanted to find out what they were doing. And he was, like, a top researcher in it.
Sure, but I feel like that this is a hole in their story.
Right.
Yeah.
It came in out of the blue at the very end. I mean, the game, we just basically knew he worked for Chiron. And we don't know, you know, the what's, the whys, the wheres, or what he was doing at Chiron. So, you know, We got little dribs and drabs that he was hooked up with the body parts guy, but nothing to the extent that he was involved in, you know, offloading or downloading, you know, people's brains, if you will, into the hive. So it would have, if he would have played those cards a little earlier in the game, we would have, like, built up a better means of making a decision. You know what I'm saying?
Mark, yeah, because at the end, it feels like you don't really understand the implications of either choice.
Right.
Because we didn't, and without implications, it's not really a choice. It's just kind of, like, that's why when Morpheus says, would you like the red pill or the blue pill, he tells you what each of them mean. He doesn't just say, would you like the red or the blue pill?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I loved the little kid books.
Did you notice that the books started getting more and more male-faced?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Did anybody else freak out a little bit, or did anybody push the button at the on the red door after? It's after you first enter the fake Chiron second apartment building or whatever, and go past the dead body in the VR simulation, and you end up pushing a button after you
right.
get down the hallway, and then you have the person talking to you. I'm just trying to figure out if there was, like, anything relating to Dan in that, or if it was just some sort of weird instance.
The woman talking to you through the...
Yeah.
Through the glass?
Because she then ends up calling you, like, a good boy, like, that you're such a good son, and he's like, what did you say?
I caught that. And there's, like, unfortunately, the game had beaten submission into me, and I didn't pay attention to it too much. I heard it, and I'm like, what the hell was that about?
It sounded like they used the same voice actor as they did for Daniel's wife. Which, okay. If this is electronic Adam simulation,
then it could be, yeah.
It might have very well been a memory clip of her voice talking to Adam. But
it was something about her husband going crazy.
Yeah. At the time, I took it as how Adam had said, like, Chiron's already in your head messing with you. And so I thought it was just kind of a, like, this is a shepherding effort by Chiron to get me to do whatever they want.
Right.
And so since this is an Eastern Bloc country, I would accept mother government computer company telling me something and then saying, good boy.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah, it's Krakow, Poland.
All right. So it is 10:08, so I guess we should probably you guys want to discuss about the game?
Stan.
No, I'm good.
Wake up, Stan.
Wait. Did the guy get smarter through the playthrough, or did he end up getting worse?
He improved somewhat. There were still a few things where, I almost have a feeling that he started using a walkthrough at times because you could kind of see, like jump cuts, through the video at points.
Yeah.
And then there were also times where he would just stop and, like, not do anything for a few seconds and then finally jump in and do something.
You'll see him, like, look up at his third, like, okay, this is what I do next. That's fine. Oh.
That final screenshot I shared of the when you end up... I can't remember if that was in Daniel's head or if that was a different, or not Daniel's, if that was in Adam's head or if that was from some other memory, this part that I just, screenshot I just sent.
The books were everywhere.
What?
Not the books. The Help Me and the...
The Help Me thing was from that weird PT part, but the tower.
Yeah, I don't remember the tower at all.
Yeah, that might have been the one part of... Because there is a part in Adam's... Like, you know the computer that you end up getting to before the one giant mutant smashes that right. scientist and starts chasing after you? That computer is the same one that you access in this tower here. It's like the exact same model, but yeah. But I felt like the screen and the tower was really cool looking.
Interesting.
All right.
Well, I guess we should get together and vote. Rate this lovely masterpiece. So, Franco, we'll start with you. Just general thoughts, final thoughts, and your rating.
Well, luckily, this isn't a pass-fail course.
That'll be your quote.
Yeah. And it had some, I mean, as I always tend to say with the games that didn't turn out well, is it had potential, but just got lost and it's lost along the way. Pacing again was at a snail's pace for, you know, you kind of expect it in a walking simulator, but this was just painful. I mean, some good sci-fi moments and some good sci-fi ideas that just the execution just wasn't there. Like I said, the graphics at the time were so dark. It was just disorienting. And then there were other moments where it would have some beautiful scenes like with the forests and stuff like that. So it was like, oh man, could have been. So between the pacing and some things that didn't make sense and you just lost interest, I'd have to, 6 is where I'm coming in.
Madeline?
I'm gonna agree with Frank. This is gonna be a 6. I feel like it had a lot of interesting ideas and stuff that would have been really neat to explore in the game environment, but for whatever reason, just didn't hang together, and it was kind of disappointing because it, like you said, it could have been something really, really neat.
Yeah. And Kevin?
Yeah. As you said, there was so much in it, and the pacing and just everything. It was just, I really wanted it to be good.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for it up until you got to like the last scene of the game. If the game just ended at the when like the giant blob mask kills you in the VR simulation, it would have been a better ending than the actual ending. Like you end by just dying. Like that. Yeah. That's like the, okay. the your Blade Runner ending. But through my averaging of what my score would be, it was like, I had like a 9 out of 10 for atmosphere and just the look, because it visually was good, but storyline was like a 4, and then gameplay and pacing were like 5 out of 10. So my average was 5. It was almost 6, but I'm going to go and use 1984 logic and give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay. And Stanton?
So, I'm not going to officially review or score or whatever, because I didn't actually play the game.
Sure.
If I did, in all honesty, I would have given this game a 1. There were
no dogs.
This game is so far beyond that 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 doesn't even matter. I don't even think dogs would be able to make this game better.
But, I mean, unless you count the werewolf.
But the problem is like the underlying story, there was something there, but it was just so poorly executed that it just failed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I was really rooting for this game, and I was with it for like the first half of it, and I was excited about it, and I was like, yeah, I think this is going in a good direction. You know, I mean, like, even though it had its faults at the time, like, I was like, oh, there's some things that I like, you know, it's a little slow, but I'm sure it will like wrap up and give us a nice execution. I was disappointed. Just 20% of the game. I mean, I think it could have been wrapped up very nicely. Even if they were throwing all this stuff at us, they could have taken it and just, even if it was an unanswered ending, like an open ending, it was just a bunch of like knots, like they were trying to tie it into a bow, but it just ended up into all kinds of knots and tying together, and you end up just throwing the ribbon away because it's useless, it's pointless. Or like how you go and like try and like straighten out a bag of lights.
Yes.
And you know, and you're like, okay, this is getting good. And then, like, you only realize that, I mean, you're creating a bigger mess, a bigger knot.
Or all the one light is out, so the whole string's not lighting up.
Exactly. That's a good metaphor, too. And then the whole string goes dark, and you're just like, I'm just going to scrap this. This is ridiculous. I'm going to go to Walmart and buy a new. Yeah, there you go. Yep. There you go. Just a mess of wire and frustration. And that's kind of what I got. The last part of this game. Like, I was frustrated and I was like, this is so sad. Like, it could have been a very, I think it could have taken it into such a thought into, it could have given you something to think about. It could have given you, even, you know, unanswered questions and just made you think about important issues or hypothetical ones about augmentation and, you know, what we were discussing this evening. We had better conversations this evening than any of the game gave us.
Yeah.
Because it just got lost. Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt. I felt like the mother in Stranger Things. Yeah. Just choice. All kinds of lights everywhere, and yeah, tell me something, and there's no letters lighting up.
And it just says no. It just says run.
It just says run. So with all that in mind, with all that being said, again, like, have to go. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna be 6.5. I'll go to 6.5 only because it had potential and everything was nicely rendered. Like there were, you know, I mean, there was some thoughtfulness put into the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of all for naught. And so there we go.
Just now as you were talking, what did you thought about this add-on for ending? You know, you have this mechanic during the whole game. This stupid mechanic of having to take a sycophage or whatever every, you know, whatever, 20 minutes, an hour. That when it was with Adam, at the very end, the game gives you, like, this massive sycophage warning that, you know, impending doom and death if you don't take your pill. And that's one of your choices is, like, you know what? I'm just not going to take the pill, and that's my decision. I'm going to cop out. And
yeah.
that would have been a good way of avoiding the question.
Sure.
The third option, just like this.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, and that whole thing, taking the pill, like, I understand, like, it was reinforcing this idea of augmentation, and I guess the consequences of what a person that's augmented has to do, like, they have to take these pills. And you could almost go into the question of, maybe there's people out there that are augmented and can't afford the pills, you know?
It could have been his frontal lack of rejections then. Nope, I'm not going to take the pill. I'm done with this.
Yeah. The developers lost.
Yeah, it was just...
That should have been an achievement, going through the entire game and not taking the pill.
Well, do you eventually get a game over if you don't take the pill? Or
I never tried. I never tried not to take the pill.
You just get really pixelated vision.
You go tumbleweed park on it?
As those who experienced... those who couldn't figure out how to, or didn't realize you couldn't take the pill again until you got to the third brain dive because the PETA glitch.
Overdosed in the pills once. Ooh, I didn't realize. It's just like blurry vision. It's like having motion blur on.
Yes, it's like everything got all. Watercolory. It's fading into itself.
Like, I took one pill, and it drove me crazy that I was like, why don't I just take a second pill and bring this meter down? Because the meter was so close to the top, I was like, I just want this to go down all the way. Like, I want, like, why am I, like, you know, is there a pill I can take that will bring this down, like, all the way to the bottom? And so I thought, oh, I'll just take another pill. Should have thought, but I just thought game mechanics wouldn't be that realistic and that you can't take like double dosage or something, right. You know, but I took a double dosage and I was like, oh, whoa, okay.
What meter error? Do you mean the green bar?
In the little, bring it all the way down. Just brought it down a little bit. Just
the down green bit. Bar represents, I believe, how much you have.
It goes up. Like, when it reaches the top, that's when you have to take a pill.
Oh, it is?
I thought it was the waveform. So, like, you could see the two different waveforms over top of each other. And when they were, like, really off, then everything would get pixelated.
That, too. It'd
be like, that was your synchronization, that your waves needed to be in sync, is what I thought it was. But I have no idea what the green bar was.
I thought it represented how much you had, because you had to keep you could keep picking up various dosages.
So anyways, that's all wrapped up. Observers in our past, guys. So our next game, which I've announced, you guys already know, is Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Completely different game than Observer, which is in amazing ways. So your first stopping point going to be about, I mean, and here's the thing, okay, so like one point took me close about 2.5 hours. You can go back, like there's a lot of like little things you can collect in the game, probably 50% of the stuff, but there were places I probably could have went back to collect more, which is going to add your time one. I mean, I did okay, like, getting, like, trying to figure out a couple of times, like, what to do, but not getting too, like, off course or too confused. And so it could take anywhere from probably 2 to 3 hours, depending on how you play. Just go through and don't try and collect anything. Let me get my phone out and bring it up otherwise. Okay, so you play as Ori, this little... it's going to be, you'll kind of point to where you have to put a water vein orb from this spider who steals it and tries to run away with it. To get that water vein back, this water vein orb, it like glows from the spider. Get it back, it tells you, okay, well, you need to take it back to this tree, which is the Ginzo tree, and put the water vein back in. So you do that, and tree, and then that's where you will be stopping.
Okay. So get the water vein back to the tree.
Right, get the water vein back to the tree, and it will tell you what to do. No, that's not what I'm trying to post a picture of what the tree looks like and what it looks like when you will be stopping. There we go. There we are on our way now. Okay, so an image is uploading, and that is what it will look like. And you put the
thingamajig in the Babadoo.
Exactly. a door opens up, and you have the option to go inside. I think because it saved the game and turned it off. So that's your first stopping point.
Okay.
All right.
Beautiful.
I'll say the controls are really smooth, and it was a joy to play. I played it mostly at an airport, so.
Oh yes, I remember seeing. Were you playing on like a
my laptop with an Xbox One controller? Yes. Yeah.
How hard of a platformer is it? Because I heard it was pretty difficult, not pretty difficult.
I didn't think it was that difficult, but then I also play Cuphead. Some people...
Okay.
I mean, I would say it's medium difficulty. It's not super easy. I don't think there's a difficulty level that you can set.
Yeah,
I would say about medium difficulty. It's definitely... I wouldn't say that it's hard.
It's less difficult than The Lion King of Super Nintendo days.
That's not comforting.
I'm guessing.
For sure. It's definitely less difficult than The Lion King on the Super Nintendo. Yes.
I'm not great at platformers, so I will give it my 100%.
I didn't have any areas, Madeline, where I was like, wow, this is really hard. In Cuphead, I do that consistently, all the time.
Okay.
Consistently, this one, I don't think... I mean, there were a couple of times I died, but it's pretty easy. I mean, you just have to just save. I mean, you collect the energy orbs, mm-hmm. and you can hold down... You can save your progress once you collect, like, a couple of orbs. You can create, a save spot.
Nice.
And you can go back to that save spot and re-engage it, I think, anytime that you want to.
Sweet.
So, yeah, just be, you know, be aware and just, you know, save it. There were a couple of times that I would die and I'd be like, oh, crap, I'm a little bit behind, but we can, you know. But so, progress, and I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Do the
pretty and lovely, you don't mind.
Do the spawn points have unlimited amount of respawns?
Yes. There's no, you die so many times and you start over.
Like Little Big Planet mechanics. Oh, God.
It's Little Big Planet, but yeah. No, it's you can, you wouldn't, I mean, as long as you have, you, I mean, you'll go back to your last save. All right. Well, okay. It is almost 10:30. Thank you guys for coming, and I will see everyone next Tuesday.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.